Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back. We are back. And yes, not gonna lie, I wasn't quite sure if I was gonna show up after not winning Booker of the Year last week for the year. But we all know that Monday Night Mike won it. So we sent Monday Night Mike off on vacation to lovely Korea, and he will spend a couple weeks there. So it's myself, Scotty Villa, UK Tom. Tom, how are you, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Feeling great. Do you want to know why I'm feeling great?
Why is that?
Because Mike's not here. No.
Yeah.
I just feel like we got more leg room right now.
Yeah. And,
you know.
Well, so we send him to Korea. I thought we fired him again.
Well, he's on assignment.
Yeah.
So he's trying out to be the latest member of BTS. He's got the body for it.
There we go.
So
does he have the voice?
Well,
do they have the voice? I don't know.
Auto-tune's a wonderful gimmick in the musical world, so I'm sure he'll do just fine. But
well, if you've been to a CWE show, you certainly know that he has the dance moves. Also, before I forget, hey, Mike, fuck you.
Oh, fucking pop. Oh. Mike will be back in a couple weeks. It's myself and UK Tom here. And one of the reasons why I'm feeling so great today, Tom, is nostalgic reasons. I love nostalgia. Oh, I love things from my childhood. And we got a giant dose of that last Saturday for Saturday night's main event. It made the big comeback in the world of the WWE. And I think they did it right. I think they hit a home run with this. Tom, it was 2 hours on NBC. We got five matches. We got the ring skirts, we got the logo, we got the music, we got the ropes, we got Jesse the Body Ventura. Tom, big win for you, big loss, a bit of a stumble in the middle. How are you feeling about Saturday night's main event coming back?
I really enjoyed it. The nostalgia of the entranceway with the old colors but the new logo, I thought that was cool. Even stupid little things for me were really cool, like the fact that the gate style barricades were back and the referees were wearing the shirt and bow tie. And I thought that was cool. I haven't watched a show with commercials live for probably a decade. So by the time we got through the first match, I was apocalyptically angry, but putting that aside, because I mean, I chose to watch it live, so that's my fault. It was a very enjoyable card.
Yeah.
So I think we should work backwards.
I agree.
We tend to have to be like blah, 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 when it gets to the main event, and that's never good. So the main event of Saturday night's main event was obviously Cody versus Kevin Owens for the WWE Championship. One thing I wish they'd done is they'd kept the reveal of the Winged Eagle to be on TV. They hadn't released anything that it was going to happen. That with Cody opening the jacket, kind of like he did when he had the pack all fucked up. I think it would have got a similar reaction.
I think it would have got a big pop in the arena and online. But I also think that tease that they did just built that anticipation to have people wanting to tune in. I don't think there was a wrong answer there. I think what they did with the teaser was fine, but that initial reveal where if we hadn't known at all, and all of a sudden he opens that jacket, it's the Winged Eagle, I'm through the roof, Pop.
Yeah. Dude. Now, I enjoyed the match. It went kind of as I thought it would, right till the finish. Because I think I picked Kevin Owens to win here. So
did I.
I was a little worried about Jesse Ventura being on commentary for this. I thought he was great.
So Jesse Ventura was back. Jesse the Body Ventura was back from a Saturday Night's main event. He only did color commentary for the main event. He opened the show with Joe Tostori, or I believe that's how you say his name, on like a platform with a podium kind of running down the card. And it was a nice welcome back for Jesse, but Jesse was there for just the main event. And he was very, very good. He knew what he was talking about. He knew his role. He was the heel commentator that we all love to hate and love hearing on a broadcast like that. So he knew his stuff. Some people are online killing him because he kept calling Kevin Owens Kevin Owen. The guy's 75 years old. He hasn't been in wrestling for like 40 years. He's getting caught up. A minor error like that doesn't bother me one bit. But it was great to have Jesse the Body Ventura back on the call. And he'll be on the call again for future Saturday Night Main Events throughout the next year.
And also dropping an S off of a name, who gives a fuck?
Exactly. Exactly. Pat Patterson did it all the time. So
exactly. Hey, he didn't call Cody Rhodes Cody Runnels, so that's good.
Yeah. The match for me, again, same as you, went the way I thought it was going to go. I really liked the aggression that we got from Kevin Owens. I really liked the beatdown that he gave Cody, but I also like that Cody didn't back down either. They sold the minor ankle injury from 2 weeks ago when Cody Rhodes fought Chad Gable. That was like a storyline within the match that even Jesse the Body Ventura was really harping on. He's like saying Cody is not a smart champion taking a match against Chad Gable. And look, he's hurt. His ankle isn't 100%. And Kevin Owens is going after that. But Cody Rhodes fought back. He fought through. The RKO on the table that didn't give was a nice little, I liked it a lot. It was a nice spot. And it planted seeds again to be like, hey, don't forget, Randy Orton is still involved with what's going on with Kevin. Don't forget, Randy could be coming back. So I like that a lot. To me, that was like perfect seed planting for Cody, Kevin, and Randy.
So speaking of the aggression shown by Kevin Owens, we kind of have to talk about the angle they ran off after the show with the package pile driver and the stretcher job. Now, I don't know if I'm in the minority or not here, but it pissed me off that this was not on the show.
You were heated in the group chat, brother.
I was mad as all hell, saying all things I can't say on a podcast. Well, I probably can, but I'm in a pretty good mood today. So, so why run the angle and not put it on TV? Don't make it difficult for me to watch your content. I don't make me have to go to Twitter after every show or Instagram or whatever the hell Blue Sky is or any of these things. Like, if it's important enough to run an angle, put it on the fucking show.
I do agree with you. I would have loved to have seen that be the end of Saturday Night Main Event. But I think that much like the Winged Eagle, they got the response that they were going to get no matter what. I truly believe that. How many of us after a wrestling show go to Twitter and Instagram anyway, just to see reactions, to see what's going on? And now you're getting brand new information that wasn't on the show that, holy fuck, like, because I didn't see it. You text the group chat to be like, Kevin Owens went after Cody Rhodes after Saturday Night's Main Event. We're like, fucking what? And then I think you're like, he hit the package pile driver, like, and couldn't grab my phone fast enough.
No.
To see that. And it's a little bit of, I do agree, because it's like that FOMO hits of like, oh my God, I'm missing out. Yeah. What's going on, right? And yes, it would make that television product so much better. But Bully Ray was talking about this on Busted Open, where Saturday Night's Main Event was very much for people that don't watch wrestling or haven't watched wrestling in a long time, but have heard of Saturday Night Main Event. So they sent the TV audience, that TV audience, home happy. The good guy got the win. He was a little shady about it because he did use the chair, and he saw that he was going to use the chair. But I did too. But the good guy, Mr. USA, Captain America himself, Cody Rhodes, got the victory, holding up the championship, sending the crowd, TV crowd, home happy. But then the diehards get on Twitter and Instagram and see Kevin Owens attacking Cody from behind, hitting a package pile driver, which I don't think he's ever done in the WWE.
This is the second only package pile driver in the history of the WWE.
Wild. Wild. And then I saw it the other day, the image of Kevin Owens standing on top of Cody Rhodes while Cody Rhodes is strapped to...
I died.
Attached to a stretcher is the funniest fucking thing. And I love Cody.
If you haven't seen that photo, search it out and look at Charles Robinson's face. I fucking died.
I might make it the cover image for the podcast for this
100%. 100%.
Just so people know what we're talking about. But
just wild, for the listeners out there who are like me, and if I was listening and someone said it was the second only thing, it would drive me nuts if they didn't then say what the first was. So the first was back in 1995, and it was Aja Kong hitting a package pile driver on Chaparita Asari. There you go.
My man with the stats. I love it. Love it. He's backing those stats up. Cody gets hit with a package pile driver, gets taken off on a stretcher. Now, Kevin Owens hit Randy Orton with a regular pile driver in November. Was it November? I imagine it was November.
I
think it was after Bad.
Yeah, it was before Survivor Series.
So. Yes. So... And that's a regular pile driver. A package pile driver looks, and by the looks of it, feels worse than a regular pile driver.
It looks so, like it sucks.
Yeah. So are we not seeing Cody until the Rumble? Are we not seeing him on the debut of Raw on Netflix? Cody has to be out for a little while here.
So I hope they sell the pile driver really well. But it will also bug me if we don't see him to the Rumble, because the 30-day rule,
which is used whenever they want.
I know, and that bugs me. Either have a rule or don't. But I think we get... Well, there's another Saturday night's main event before the Rumble.
January 25th, the week before the Rumble.
So do we get Kevin Owens versus Cody in a stretcher match?
I think we get Kevin Owens versus Randy at that show. I don't think we see Cody Rhodes on television until the Rumble. You have to sell it a little bit longer than Randy.
That's true. But Cody doesn't have the neck injury history, so they could play it that way.
You could play it that way. I wish they would have just hit a regular pile driver instead of the package. But here's the other thing, though. I know it doesn't pertain to the TV audience, but the diehards like us, we're going to be flipping through Twitter and our wrestling Twitter throughout the holidays. The holiday tour, which goes through Madison Square Garden and all these big shows, Cody's not going to be on those. Are you kidding me? He's got to be on those.
They got to keep him off it.
But they have to keep, that's right. They have to keep him off of it to sell the injury. So,
but I mean, that dude's been running hard since he came back to WWE. I don't think 6 weeks off a house show is not going to kill the house show.
I agree, especially if you replace him with a guy like CM Punk. If CM Punk's out there working those house shows, or maybe
I think he'll work. I think Punk will work the Garden. I can't see him anywhere else. But
it popped in my head last night when I was watching Raw, something that you said on this show pretty recently. Might have even been last week.
Oh, fuck, what'd they say?
That you want to see CM Punk wrestle more on regular television, not just on PLEs. And we're getting Seth Rollins versus CM Punk on the first episode of Raw on Netflix on January 6th.
Are we, though?
It's scheduled to happen. Card subject to change. It's scheduled to happen. And I think it has to. I think you've got to hit a home run with this 3-hour Raw on Netflix. And I don't doubt that they will. They're bringing in all the big guns. So, I mean, if you look at the promo package, I know we're getting off Santa's main event for a second. Yeah. Have you seen all the wrestlers revealing their Monday Night Raw, like, walk intro kind of thing?
No, I forward for that shit.
But you've seen it, though, right? You've seen that, like, Bronson Reed and...
Vaguely aware of it, yeah.
So, I paid attention to it today. Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed, they've released theirs. But then the Gorillas of Destiny, Tonga Loa and Tama Tonga, Solo has one. Bianca Belair has one, LA Knight has one, and Roman Reigns has one.
We're getting some shifts.
Those are all SmackDown people.
Which, but as you can imagine.
No CM Punk, no Drew McIntyre, no Sami Zayn, no Judgment Day, Damian Priest did one. But they got the transfer window open, which is like a baseball or a football term for... Oh, being able to trade. I work for a sports radio show. I should probably know that, but that's coming. That's open right now, or it's coming up. So there will be some roster shifts happening for superstars, but I'm like, man, there's no Drew. There's no CM Punk. What's going on here? Like, no Rhea Ripley that I saw. So I think we're going to be getting a big shift with the rosters here, especially the bigger names.
What's going to be interesting, though, is it's going to be, I mean, I know it's not in the States, but for the first time ever, everything's on the same network or streaming. Yeah. Or so for the first time ever, it doesn't really matter where people are.
That's true.
Because it's not like Fox are going to be like, hey, the other people have all of your stars and we have Gilbert. Netflix have everybody.
For pretty much outside of the United States, yeah, Netflix has got everybody. And in the United States, Netflix has Raw, but USA Network has SmackDown and CW has NXT.
But then when that expires, you got to think Netflix are going to throw money at the States.
If Raw continues to be a massive success on Netflix, Netflix will take everything. And they should, well, unless they're outbid by like Amazon Prime or Disney Plus or whatever it may be. There's going to be bidding wars for sure for these streaming services. But let's get back to Saturday night's main event here. I agree with you that, yes, I would have loved to have seen the beatdown by Kevin Owens happen on the show. But the reaction is the same. Everyone was on Twitter and Instagram talking about it, sharing it, wondering what happened. We got different camera angles. The one thing we haven't talked about, Tom, is after that beatdown happens, Kevin Owens grabs that Winged Eagle championship, the greatest looking championship of all time, starts walking to the back. He starts posing with it. Triple H comes out, gets in his face, pushes Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens pushes him back, and that one hand pushed him right on the heart. I was like, easy, brother. You got to be careful.
Yeah, let's not trigger that defib here.
Exactly, which I loved and hated it. I love the fact that Triple H is coming out. What the fuck are you doing? You're wrecking the show. Like, we're trying to send fans home happy here. You're attacking our guy. You hit him with a pile driver, which is banned. And then they get physical. But we know we can't get that payoff with Triple H versus Kevin Owens. At least that's what we know right now.
Or can we?
To me, if they didn't get physical, I'm not thinking about that. But they put hands on each other. I want to see that.
The thing with WWE, for the most part these days, is they don't want shit getting out.
Right? They're doing a great job of it, too.
So, like, using the Motor City Machine Guns as an example, unless you knew that logo, when it popped up in the vignettes, you didn't know it was them coming in. And there was no confirmation that they'd signed until that it popped up, Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, so true.
So who knows if Triple H is healthy enough these days? And Kevin Owens, despite his aggressive gimmick and hell of a worker, safe as hell.
Stone Cold's like, I'll work with that guy. Right? Came back at, what was that, 38, WrestleMania 38, where Stone Cold has refused to come back to work with anybody over the years since he's retired. But
got in with Owens, no problem.
Exactly. He fuck Stone Cold let him use the stunner. He could have told Kevin Owens, nah, you're not the guy. He did.
Stone Cold let Kevin Owens suplex him on the concrete.
Yeah. And I think on the stage too, right?
And on the stage.
Yeah.
So it could happen. Anyway, you are right. It has planted seeds that who knows if they can let that tree grow or not, but I guess we'll find out. Which is one of the exciting things about wrestling these days. A lot of things are, we'll find out.
Yeah, there's so many options right now and so many opinions going around that it's almost impossible to easily fantasy book, hey, we know how this is going to go to Mania. There's too many options going around for so many superstars right now. The rest of Saturday night's main event, really, really enjoyed it. We got Rhea Ripley, or sorry, not Rhea Ripley. We got Liv Morgan versus Io Sky for the Women's World Championship.
Oh my God, that knee.
Dude.
I thought she was out.
She should have been out. Liv Morgan got a lot of respect for me because she ate that fucking knee. It was like a V trigger from Kenny Omega. And she got right back up. She sold it, but she got up, sold the hell out of it, bleeding from the nose, and finished the match when I don't think a lot of people would have done that. But
I enjoyed the match, but I did expect a little bit more.
It's one of those things. I was actually having a conversation with the guy at work about this with Io Sky. She doesn't get the pop when she comes out. When the music hits, people don't pop for Io. She wins them over throughout the match. And then the crowd gets louder and louder. I think they need to find a way to get people to invest in her a little bit more. Or I know some people won't agree with this and they'll all say, well, if you want that pop, get over. I think entrance music is such a big part of music hits. Holy fuck, that's one of my favorite wrestlers.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I quite like her personal entrance music. It's the damage control music I don't like.
True, true. But they've been using that damage control music for so much. I think people are forgetting that her original music, which is very good, is hers, right? That's who that is.
But the part I'm not disagreeing, but also not completely agreeing with you, crowds in the States don't pop for you.
Yeah, that's crowds a really over, good call.
Crowds overseas go batshit for you.
Man, we pop for you. Like, anytime she's doing a match on Raw or a run-in or anything like that, it's in the group chat. Like, fuck, man, Io killed it again.
Io's must-see TV for me.
Same. Same. And even like family members, when I'm watching the show and they're not really paying attention too much, when Io just goes off, like that dive through the ropes the other night.
That's amazing.
She goes the way it's supposed to be. I have nothing else left to do, but I have to throw my body through the ropes to the floor and take this person out completely. The way suicide dives used to be back in the day where Eddie Guerrero was like, fuck, I don't have any other options right now. Nothing else is beating this guy. I've got to jump through the ropes and take him out. Owen Hart the same way. Bret Hart, when Bret would do it, it was like a last ditch effort to try to take that opponent down. When Io does it, she doesn't hold back. She kills opponents.
So I, fun fact for you.
Ooh, I love these.
Io's sister is a wrestler too.
Really?
And she still wrestles in Japan. She stopped for a while and she's back in again. You know what her name is?
I have no idea.
Mio Shirai.
Io and Mio? That's amazing. Yeah. Does she work at Stardom or where's she at?
She is in it's not Stardom and the name of the company escapes me right now.
It's not Marigold.
It's not Marigold. Oh, okay. It's one of the smaller like I don't even think they run Cork and Hall.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna bug the shit out of me now, but I'll remember.
So I'll give you a little fun personal fact. So as many of you may or may not know, I pay monthly for New Japan World. Last night I actually fired it up just to see what was upcoming on New Japan World for like pay-per-views that they're actually showing that you don't have to pay extra for. And they have Stardom on there. And I was like, whoa. Like I believe they do like a weekly television show.
Yeah, they do.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Here we go. So I think I'm going to watch some Stardom over the Christmas break.
I'll give you some names to look out for.
Fuck yeah.
Also, I told you I'd remember. The company is called Ice Ribbon.
Ice Ribbon?
Yeah.
Amazing. I don't even want to know why it's called that. I just love that it's Ice Ribbon.
I couldn't tell you. Anyway, Saturday night's main event. More shit happened.
Ooh, what happened?
Chelsea Green became the inaugural Women's United States Championship. Championship? She's the belt, apparently. She is the champion. Very happy with this. I love Chelsea Green.
So good and just so well earned because she brings it with her character every week.
And she's the... I don't like this word very much, but she's the only gimmick that's not a gimmick.
Yeah, you're not wrong, man.
She's so much fun to watch. Now, I know I think it was last week when I was grumpy and I was burying everything. I buried her for her finish.
Yeah.
Loved it on Saturday night's main event.
It was creative and it worked. It made sense. It was.
Yeah.
I was like, what is she doing? Oh my God, she's doing it. She's got the finish. She's hitting the umpire. Yeah. And it worked. Her and Meechan worked very, very well in this match. I like your opinion on the last match. I was hoping for a little bit more out of this match, but time limits are a thing. And it's not like it's a PLE where you can just kind of go when you're on the WWE network. So you can kind of go over whatever. This is NBC. Everything's got to be nice and tight.
Yeah.
And they hit it out of nowhere. It was perfect. And I was really happy about it. I hummed and hawed throughout this tournament, and I'm even doing that with the Intercontinental Championship Women's Tournament as well. I think it definitely helps the championship right off the bat to have a veteran like a Natalya win the title or Bayley. But I don't think it hurts at all to get an up-and-comer that has earned the spot, worked their ass off, got themselves over, got their gimmick over, and Chelsea's the one that has done that. When they had first announced this, I was like, I can see Meechan being the first champion. She's really started to, since she's left like the Bullet Club or the OC at Schmoz, she's really shown that to finally be a very good wrestler on WWE TV. She's always been a very good wrestler. Hasn't really been given that opportunity on television that much. So to have these two go at it in the finals, great match, great finish. The first Women's United States champion is Canadian. And that's a nice feeling.
Oh yeah.
Victoria, BC, baby.
Yeah. Fuck me. What was I going to say? I have literally no idea what I was going to say. So it might not. I guess we'll move on to another match. So Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn opened the show.
It did. Surprised me to open the show, to be honest.
It surprised me to open. I thought it was a great opener. I enjoyed the match a lot.
It's two guys that can work. We've seen this evolution of Drew McIntyre happening for the last year, maybe year and a half, of just such an aggressive side. He's always been a fantastic wrestler, but now with this heel side, this heel gimmick, but it's one of those heel gimmicks where he's speaking truth.
Yep.
He's never lied about things. He's talked about why he's been displeased with the bloodline or CM Punk coming in and stealing spots. And he's angry about it. And right now, this vendetta that he's on to go after anybody that's been associated with the bloodline is awesome. I love it. And the first guy on his hit list was Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, we all know how well he can work. We all know he's the underdog from the underground. Wasn't expecting Sami to win. Sami went out there and did his job. Did a great job working with Drew. One of the things that I loved was the finish. The finish was out of nowhere. It was quick. Sami rolled Drew McIntyre back in the ring. McIntyre got up,
Boom. Claymore. Oh, done. And Tom, I want to jump for one quick second. There's been a lot of bullshit and bitching and moaning on the old internet about how people didn't like the quick finishes in these matches for Saturday night's main event. We didn't get a lot of false finishes. Motherfuckers, the finishers finished the match. The finishers meant something more than ever on Saturday night's main event. Every finisher that was hit resulted in a 1-2-3.
And it's a TV match. Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. I just need to get that out there. But
now, you said some very interesting words there. Sami Zayn did his job. His job is to lose, which makes him a what?
The ultimate underdog from the underground is what that
I'd
makes
say.
Him.
I'd look, say look, that
Mike's
makes
not here. You, Mike's not here. You don't say, have to play this part anymore.
I'd say that that makes that ginger fucker a jobber.
You just wait. There's a part of me that thinks one of the nights of WrestleMania will end with Kevin Owens defending his title against Sami Zayn.
Hey, I'd be all for that. All kidding aside about Sami Zayn, I'd love that match.
I really, really want them to have a Kevin and Sammy feud again with Triple H at the helm of creative. I think that could be a fantastic story, but we all love Sami Zayn.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. I see it in you guys' eyes.
I got to admit, heel Sami Zayn, I really like.
Oh, the conspiracy theorist Sami Zayn was fucking amazing.
So much fun.
Before we head out, we should get into the triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Gunther defended against Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Not gonna lie, I was really just hoping for Gunther versus Finn Balor because I thought that match would have been a very, very good match. I don't really understand why they put Damian Priest in here, but I don't think they wanted Gunther to take a loss. And I think they want a Priest on their show because he's going to be a part of NXT or Netflix Monday Night Raw. Could you imagine for NXT? But again, very, very good triple threat match. I thought Finn Balor was the MVP of that match, dude. He really showed out.
Same. And I think we also have to talk about Gunther managing to muscle Damian Priest back up on the nearly botched powerbomb. Damian Priest is a big man.
Yes.
So to just, nope, you're going back up. That's one strong Austrian. Hell of a match. Loved it.
Love the match. I love the fact that he powerbombed Damian Priest on the steps on the outside of the ring and then got in and powerbombed Finn Balor and took the victory and stood up like a badass champion. That got me back on board. I'm not gonna lie, I've been off the bandwagon a little bit with Gunther. But that really, really, really brought me back on. I love that finish.
So you've been off the Gunther bandwagon, but on the Sammy? What the hell?
Look, who beat Gunther at WrestleMania? It was Sami Zayn.
The Booker.
It was Sami Zayn.
So I have two quick points before we run out of time.
Yeah, buddy. Do it up.
So this weekend on Saturday, I can't go a show without mentioning GCW. One of my favorite GCW shows I've ever watched was this weekend. It was GCW Scene of the Crime 2024.
Great name.
I highly recommend people who haven't seen much GCW go out of their way to watch this one. It's fun.
Nice.
It was just a fun show.
Those are the best ones.
And also, as our local people on may have seen, Saskatchewan wrestling is about to potentially get a little bit more interesting.
Dude, we have like 90 seconds left. What in the fuck is Reaper Wrestling? Who are they? Where do they come from? And are they bringing all these wrestlers that they're announcing to Moose Jaw?
If they are, they're going to need to everybody in Moose Jaw to buy a ticket. But now I'm really wishing them good things because that means more wrestling for us to go to watch and to yell at people in spandex, and that's always fun. But
that's what we'd have to do.
I'm wishing nothing but the best to whoever the fuck Reaper Wrestling is.
Whoever they are, just real quick, they've announced Crazy Steve. They've announced Jake Something, who I'm becoming a bigger and bigger fan of every time I see him. And they announced ECW legend Rhino. And we've seen Rhino before at CWE. I loved seeing Rhino. If I can see a Gore in person again, I'm all in. So give them a follow. just go to Instagram, follow at Reaper Wrestling, or just search it up. You'll find it. I don't know who or what they are, but if they're bringing these kind of talents to Saskatchewan, where we're based, I'm excited. I'm pumped. We might need to do some more investigative reporting on this here, Tom. So,
hey, Reaper Wrestling, if you're listening, just take the hood off. Who the fuck are you?
Oh, man. I love it, dude. Supporting local pro wrestling is so much fun. We've got Ringside Wrestling. CWE comes through like a handful of times a year, and they're always a great time. If we get another company like Reaper Wrestling running regular local shows, we're living a pretty good life here, watching a lot of pro wrestling. For UK Tom, we got to get out of here, pal. We're going to get cut off any second.
That always happens. Fuck you, Mike.
On that note, Larry UK Tom, I'm Scotty V. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Cheers. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.